And welcome back to Lighthouse Now.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
Hi, I'm Joshua, and joining me today is Miss Strobel. She's one of our newer members of the Young Adults Group. Fun fact, she's the daughter of the person who's giving the teaching today.
Thanks, Josh. Yep, I'm Miss Strobel. And you already know Josh from last episode. Fun fact about him, he runs a blog reviewing different kinds of books.
To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
That was My Lighthouse by The Wren Collective.
It's a theme of not only our podcast, but everything we do at Lighthouse.
I know it's been explained before, but why don't we tell the new people like me or first-time listeners what Lighthouse is all about?
Yes, absolutely. Lighthouse is our monthly young adults meeting here at our church, Light on the Hill in Richmond Hill, Ontario. We meet select Sundays at 5 p.m. in our upper room for 60 minutes of great worship, discussion, prayer, and fellowship.
Then we all just hang out, play a little more music, talk over a great light supper provided by one of the many gifted cooks that we have at our church.
And while we often say that it's for young adults, that's not the only group that comes.
That's very true. Sometimes I think that the adults enjoy Lighthouse just as much, or maybe even more than we do.
Either way, it's a wonderful time with both friends and God, and we're always happy to see a new face.
And Lighthouse Now, the thing you're listening to, is the podcast version of those Sunday evenings.
Now, last Sunday, our Pastor Peter shared a great sermon that asked and answered a very important question. Will there be bacon in heaven? Why don't you tell us a little more about that, Sydney?
Today we have Peter Blundell with us. Peter's the pastor of our church and has been for the last 15 years. Lily, you've known him for longer than I have. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about him?
Yeah, for sure. He's helped create the church and its community as we know it. And he's a really fun guy to be around. When you're hanging out with Peter, you better be prepared for some of that good old British humor. Peter will be talking today about what we can expect when we end up in heaven. He's asking the important question, will there be bacon in heaven? But first, a song by Neon Feather.
Ooh.
pride. Oh, the stories we'll take to the other side. No, we won't miss the view while we're on this climb. All the stories we'll take to the other side. No, we won't miss the view while we're on this ride. All the stories we'll take to the other side. We're not where we're going, and we're not lost where we are. Taking the long way home, just taking the long way home. There's beauty on the back roads, even when this journey's hard. Taking the long way home, taking the long way home. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Great song, thank you. So, picture the scene. Kezia is about 7 years old, and she comes up to me with a very serious expression on her face, and she says, "Upa, will there be bacon in heaven?" Now, I will admit that a number of thoughts charged through my head. First, wow, this is the very best question I've ever been asked. Why has no one asked me this before? I mean, not least because if they had, I might already have a thought-through answer for Kezia. Then I thought to myself, how do I respond to this in such a way that a seven-year-old can understand, and to ensure that I paint an accurate picture of heaven for her, which will also stand the test of time? To me, her question presupposed three things. First, that there is a heaven. Second, that heaven seems to be a great place. And third, that Kezia was questioning, do I want to go there? Think about the perceived issue that Kezia was wrestling with. In her mind, heaven has got to be the best place ever, because that's why I'd want to go there. Heaven is going on for eternity, so it better include all the good stuff. And bacon is the best. Therefore, logically, bacon must be in heaven. But doesn't bacon come from pigs? So how can we get bacon without killing pigs? Because there's no death in heaven. Now, before I tell you how I responded to Kezia, let's first delve further into what is behind Kezia's question. When it comes to trying to imagine what heaven is actually like, we tend to take the parts of this life in this world that we consider to be the best, and we assume that this is what will be in heaven. Because how could heaven be heaven without X, you fill in the blank, being there? I mean, so if golf or scuba diving, basketball, skiing or cruising are your thing, then logically, they should be in heaven, shouldn't they? If Disney is the happiest place on earth, then surely it must be in heaven too. What about food and drink? Is prime rib your thing? Or top grade sushi? Or vintage port and wine? Or a single malt whiskey? Which I really quite like myself. Our dilemma is twofold. First, we really don't know too much about heaven. And second, what we do know contradicts many of our assumptions. I mean, what about sex? Isn't it supposed to be the greatest thing? Obviously, there must be sex in heaven. But listen to what Jesus said in the context of a question which assumed that there would be marriage in heaven. You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They'll be like the angels in heaven. That's from Matthew 22. In other words, Jesus tells us that in the next life, there won't be marriage, let alone sex. What? For our sex-saturated society, this teaching is crazy. We've made sex into a god. It is for some their identity, their basic human right. How could it simply not be in heaven? For that matter, how can heaven have less pleasure than earth? Now, truthfully, much as I enjoy sex, I have a far greater difficulty with the no marriage bit. Having experienced the joy of being united with Margaret, I struggle to imagine an eternity in which it is better to be single, where Margaret is just one of the billions of others who are there. How can paradise exclude such great things? Does God have something against sex, or marriage, or bacon, or chocolate for that matter? No, he doesn't. He invented them, remember? Revelation 22 gives us a glimpse of heaven, written in terms we can grasp. Verse 5 says, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light." So it's similar to insisting on bringing your trusty LED halogen 1 million candle power flashlight when entering the presence of Jesus, the light of the world. It might seem very good here on earth, not much good in heaven. When Jesus told his disciples that the definition of eternal life is to know the Father and the Son, John 17, verse 3, he was talking about a rich, deep, vibrant relationship, the like of which we've never experienced before. That the closest relationship we've ever enjoyed, including marriage, pales into mediocrity and insipidness in comparison. The psalmist said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and that in the Lord's presence there is both fullness of joy and note the word, eternal pleasures." My difficulty, dare I say it, our difficulty, is that our imaginations are so limited. A heaven that I can comprehend right now must be better than the best this fallen world has to offer. But it is hard to imagine that there might be something different and better than the best we currently enjoy, something that will make our current pleasures seem worthless by comparison. Romans 8, verses 22 to 25, informs us that the whole creation has been groaning, and that we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So what Paul is saying here is that we are groaning not because when we get to heaven there might not be bacon, or marriage for that matter. We groan inwardly because we're eagerly awaiting the fullness of our relationship with the Heavenly Father as his adopted child. So here, yes, we enjoy bacon, but our souls are longing for the best steak. When we die, we will not be losing, we'll be gaining. Everything and everyone will be transformed. As C.S. Lewis said, we will discover that this world was a shadowland in comparison to the real world we will inhabit for eternity. Last summer, we enjoyed an amazing family vacation in South Korea. Whilst we were there, we met up with one of Margaret's cousins. That evening, she picked us up from our hotel to take us out for dinner. Little did we know that the restaurant she took us to was her own, and it was famous. I mean, very famous. Its speciality was Hanu beef. Hanu is the very best beef you can purchase in Korea. It's the equivalent of its more famous cousins, Wagyu and Kobe. It is prohibitively expensive. And yet, there we were, her honored guests, being served with an unlimited supply of the best beef in the world. Honestly, I have never before or since tasted anything as delicious in my life. You may quote me on this, but it made the best bacon I have ever tasted seem like eating old leather boots. Can you imagine what Margaret's cousin would have thought and how she would have reacted if we had insisted on bringing with us our own AAA best Canadian beef? Jesus has promised us that we will join him in the feast of heaven. It will not be a potluck where we insist on bringing our favorite dishes with bacon, chocolates, and a bottle of plonk from the LCBO. The very best food that Iron Chefs and Top Chefs and Michelin star chefs could prepare will be tasteless in comparison to the food at Jesus' banquet. So finally, how did I respond to Kezia's perceptive question? Will there be bacon in heaven? First, the undisputed fact that bacon is awesome. Need I say more? As you know, I think the Bible is the best book in the world. But there is a book that I think will run into close second over time. It's just come out. It's called The Bacon Bible. However, since there'll be no killing in heaven, I suspect that there will have to be an alternative source of bacon. And I suggested to her that there might be something like the bacon tree, which would produce leaves that tasted just like bacon. Short, crispy ones, juicy, fat ones, pea meal-like ones, chocolate-covered ones, smoked ones, slab-style, pancetta, you get the idea. Kezia's brilliant and quick response was, "And I know where you will be in the four upper," which she then acted out with her head back, tongue out, catching the leaves as they fell deliciously into my happy mouth. Ah, heaven indeed. So, will there be bacon in heaven? My genuine response is, I hope not. I'm expecting something that is infinitely better.
Taking the long way home, just taking the long way home. There's beauty on the back roads, even when this journey's hard. Taking the long way home, taking the long way home.
Great talk, Appa. I like that he said there will be no bacon in heaven because it means that God has something better in store. I learned that we have to trust God because he sees the bigger picture and has a perfect plan for each of us. So all we have to do is trust God and make it to heaven because there will be something even better than bacon waiting for us, Jesus.
That's a very great point, Uskoka. What I also found very interesting in Peter's talk is how he says, I hope there isn't bacon in heaven. I hope there's something better. I like this because I think we can't really imagine how awesome the things are in heaven. And I think that's such great news and something to really look forward to.
You know, young people today don't really have a lot of eternal perspective. It's a lot of living for right now versus living for eternity with God. So when we're living for instant gratification, we're not so much living the way Jesus wants us to live, because it says in the Bible, and Peter loves to talk about this, that you know, if we live for Jesus and live the way he's called us to live, when we get to heaven, he's going to look at us and smile and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm just really looking forward to a big party in heaven.
When I was a kid, I was scared of going to heaven because I didn't like the idea of spending eternity in one place. But this talk really helped me remember that whatever is there, it will be more amazing than I could ever imagine. It will make being there for eternity awesome.
How about joining us in person next time to hear another teaching just like this one? Check us out! Lightfest Live, certain Sundays at 5 p.m.
You can find us at Light on the Hill, St. John the Baptist Church, 12125 Young Street, Richmond Hill.
You can also find us online at lightonthehill.ca or facebook.com/lightonthehill.
See you next time! Thanks for tuning in.
Taking the long way home, just taking the long way home.